Shame flooded into her. That was not like her. She would never behave that way, certainly not with a stranger. Was he using some kind of drug? She looked up at Chewie. I think maybe we better consider an alternate plan.
As Vader expected, the Emperor was not convinced.
You disappoint me, Lord Vader. I sense that your judgment is shaded by something of a personal grudge here.
No, my master. I am merely concerned about the criminal's treachery. If he is, in fact, trying to kill Skywalker...
Really, Lord Vader? I would certainly need more evidence than a rumor from some bounty hunter to move against so valuable an ally as Prince Shizor. Did he not give us that rebel base? Has he not put his vast shipping fleet at our disposal?
Vader tried to keep his voice steady and even.
I have not forgotten these things, but I have also not forgotten my promise to bring Skywalker to the dark side. Skywalker turned will be much more important to the Empire than Shizor.
Indeed he would, if you can turn him.
I can, my master. But not if he is slain before I can get to him.
Since it seems so important to you, I give you leave to search for Skywalker. For a short while. For there are other tasks I would have you perform. Is this satisfactory?
Not really, but what was there to be done?
Yes, my master.
Vader did want to find his son, but he also had to build a case against Shizor. Either of these alone would command much of his attention. Both of them at the same time would be difficult. But he was Lord of the Sith, and one with the dark side. He would manage.
Leia took a deep breath and opened the door to Shizor's chamber. The head of Black Sun sat on the couch where she'd left him, the glass in his hand.
I was beginning to worry about you.
She smiled, hoped it didn't look too false. She could still feel the charisma he exuded, but now she could resist it. Maybe her anger had become a shield upon which his attraction splashed and was repelled. Maybe the drug had worn off. It didn't matter why, as long as it worked. Now she had to keep Shizor busy long enough to give Chewie a chance to escape, or at least to get a good start on it. Chewie hadn't liked the idea, but she had convinced him he could serve her better by getting away from here and getting help. Shizor patted the seat beside him.
Come back and sit here next to me.
It was not a request, but an order. Leia moved instead toward the bar. Let me make myself some tea first. She noted that he was angry, that she did not instantly obey him. She took her time making her tea. When she was done, she sipped at it, but made no move to approach him.
Come here.
Definitely a command. Leia put the tea down and started for him. There came the smile again. He thought he had her under his control. She moved slowly, then paused. He went to meet her, bent to kiss her. She slammed her knee up between his legs hard. He groaned and shoved her away as he stumbled back a step. When he could straighten up, his face was cold. He seemed to have changed color, too, and looked cooler, an ashen green.
So, you resist me?
You got that right.
It was something the Wookiee said.
She smiled. Sometimes Wookiees are very smart, and always very loyal. He shook his head.
Ah, here is the drawback to bright and strong women. Sometimes they are bright and strong when you least want them to be.
He bowed.
I am pleased that you are a worthy adversary.
He finished the bow.
Guri?
A panel slid aside in the wall behind him, and the HRD stepped into the room. Shizor turned to her.
It seems you were right. Take her to her room and lock her in.
Lando didn't want to stop, but Luke insisted. Look, I trust the Force, and it's telling me Leia is in danger, so let's just put in a call and check, okay?
Can't it wait until we get to Tatooine?
No.
Lando dropped the Falcon out of hyperspace. At a repair station on a small moon, he gimmicked a public comm unit with a stolen override card, and the call went against the Empire's bill. Luke called the number Lando gave him for Dash. Dash didn't answer, but there was a message loop. The image that ghosted into being surprised them. A Wookiee with a bad haircut. Luke didn't recognize him until he started talking. Yelling was more like it. Lando translated.
Leia is being held on Coruscant by Black Sun.
Yeah, they tried to kill Chewie, but he escaped.
She made him go. It wasn't his idea.
Abruptly, the transmission ended.
What happened? Luke asked.
I don't know. My codes just went blank. Somebody must have reported the override's theft.
Let's go.
To Tatooine, right?
Wrong.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that.
Luke and Lando flew into Coruscant in the shadow of a gigantic cargo freighter. Then, disguised as beggars, made their way through Coruscant's underground tunnel system. They reached a maglev train station. The waiting platform was crowded, and Imperial stormtroopers in armor and uniformed officers circulated in the huge room. Lando frowned.
I think maybe it's time we got some better disguises.
What did you have in mind?
Ideally, we want to look like somebody nobody will pay any attention to.
Stormtroopers?
Lando nodded. Yeah, or maybe the elite stormtroopers would be better. Their faces are covered.
Luke looked around. Yeah, I see one about my size over there by the ticket droid.
Yep, and there's one about my height and weight by the periodical dispenser. Maybe we should do our duty to the Empire and report something strange going on in one of the fresher booths, you think?
Just as any loyal citizen would. The Luke-sized lieutenant frowned as he entered the stall, Luke right behind him.
What are you talking about? I don't see any...
Huh?
What?
This last was uttered as Luke used the Force to take control of the man's thoughts. He ordered him to strip, then to have a seat and a nice long nap. He shucked his own clothes and hurriedly dressed in the borrowed uniform. He kept the blaster and tucked his lightsaber into his waistband. Then he moved into the communal part of the refresher and examined himself in the mirror. Not bad. Lando emerged from a stall dressed in a similar uniform. The two of them squared their shoulders, stuck their chests out, and affected an imperial swagger as they exited.
Well,
Luke said,
this is a better neighborhood than where we were before, but where exactly are we going?
Lando pointed.
There. A plant shop? Don't let it fool you. It's run by an old Houghton, name of Sparrow. He's got a lot of connections, some Imperial, some Alliance, some criminal.
Inside the shop, there was no sign of the Houghton owner.
Lando put his hands up without turning.
Easy, friend. Nobody's gonna make any sudden moves. Turn around, nice and slow,
Lando told Luke.
They turned. Sure enough, there was a Wookiee standing there, one with a bad haircut.
Lando recognized him first.
Chewie!
Despite the helmets, Chewbacca recognized them at the same instant and lowered the blaster pistol he held. Lando shook his head as he listened.
Sparrow is tied up in back. If anybody spotted Chewie coming in, they wouldn't think the Houghton was helping. Right, right, and slow down, pal. Okay, okay. Leia thinks it's Black Sun that wants you dead, Luke. Yeah, they're behind the assassination attempts, not the Empire. Huh? Well, I don't know how. There's just the three of us. How can we get inside the palace?
The dialogue ended abruptly as a blaster bolt lanced through the shop's open door and shattered a flower pot hanging from the ceiling. Outside the shop, four non-uniformed men with blasters loosed more shots. Luke, Lando, and Chewbacca dropped to the floor. Chewie raised his blaster and fired several rounds blindly back at the shooters.
Is there another way out of here?
Luke asked.
In the back,
Lando yelled. He and Chewie cooked off several more shots, and the three of them crawled toward the back of the shop.
They passed the old Hodian, bound and gagged in a corner. Lando paused before him.
Sorry about this. Send the Alliance a bill. They'll pay for it.
Chewie reached the back exit and shoved the sliding door open. Another high-energy bolt zipped through the door at chest height and burned a hole in an inner wall. Lando cursed.
They've got us boxed!
Before they could think about what they were going to do, somebody outside the back exit screamed. There came the sound of several blaster discharges. Luke looked up from where he lay prone on the floor, plant dirt ground into his stolen uniform, and saw a figure walking across an alley. Well, not walking so much as swaggering.
Rendar! What are you doing here?
Saving your butts, looks like. Follow me. Dash showed the way. Chewie took the point and led them into a warren of twisted corridors that would baffle any pursuers, given how fast Luke lost his own bearings.
So, what are you doing here?
Dash sighed. Something to prove, I guess. I felt pretty bad after that disaster you and I went through. I screwed up, and I'm still not over that. But you can only sit and bubble in your own juices for so long. When Chewie called, I decided it was time to pay the Empire back.
Chizor left Leia's room and returned to his sanctum to dress for his appointments. She had repeatedly refused his polite invitations to dine with him, so he had informed her that he had allowed Chewbacca to escape deliberately, knowing the Wookiee would lead Luke Skywalker back to Leia, and thus to him. Now, as he tried on first one outfit, then another, Guri made her report.
Our agents say that a Corellian freighter answering the description of the Millennium Falcon is hidden somewhere in the Hasamadi warehouse district near the South Pole.
Are you saying Skywalker and the Gambler have come here, have eluded the Imperial picket line, and landed on the planet as bold as you please?
Any half-wit pilot who knows the freighter trick can manage it. Our own smugglers do it all the time.
Chizor rejected an outfit.
All right. Check it out. If it is Skywalker's ship, have it watched. When he shows up, have our people kill him. Circumspectly, of course.
The place Dash led them to might have been a second-rate hotel in any one of a dozen ports Luke had visited, except that the prices for staying here would have bought them each a new house on Tatooine. Luke took a deep breath, let it out slowly, and sought to clear his mind. Now that they had the time and space, he wanted to try again to reach Leia. He had removed the stolen uniform, discarded the blaster, and now he sat in the kneeling meditation posture Master Yoda had taught. He focused, said the name aloud.
Leia.
Then he reached out through the Force.
Leia, I'm here. I'm coming for you.
Leia was still locked in her room. She had decided to use the computer to try to find a floor plan for Shizor's castle.
Leia.
It was not telepathy so much as empathy, and since it had happened before on B-Spin, she recognized the sensation quickly.
Luke.
She took a deep breath and let part of it out, held her silence.
Leia, I'm here. I'm coming for you.
She smiled.
Luke, I'm here.
All right, Dash said. Here's the idea.
They sat at a small table in the hotel restaurant waiting for their meal to be served.
We know that the really big buildings on this planet extend as far under the surface as they do above it. A building as big as this one generates a lot of waste.
He tapped a holographic postcard showing several huge structures that included among them the Emperor's castle.
There has to be a way to get rid of it. They have to break the solid waste down and pump it away. Therefore, we are talking about pipes.
Luke got it. Big pipes. Lando nodded.
Chewie points out such drains would be hard to locate, given that every building will have similar systems. It's probably a monster maze under the ground.
Right, Luke said. But there will be fewer guards posted on a sewage drain than the doors above ground.
Lando looked at Dash as if he had just turned into a spider.
Assuming we could find a guide.
You are saying you want us to wade through kilometers of sewage to get into this place? Dash smiled. Exactly what the guards would think. Who would be that stupid?
Lando shook his head.
Us. Who else?
Standing on his balcony, Darth Vader felt the ripple in the Force. It was elusive, but he recognized it this time.
Luke. He was here, on Coruscant.
Vader tried to reach out with the Force and find the boy, but failed. Had Luke come to challenge Vader? Had he been sent on some rebel scheme to attack the Emperor?
What is it, my son? Why have you come here? Let yourself hear me. Reveal your whereabouts and I will come to you.
If Luke heard his call, there was no response.
My Lord Vader,
came the voice from behind him. He turned. The man who had been feeding him information on Shizor's activity stood there.
You have something for me?
Yes, my lord. We have uncovered a pirated copy of certain planetary files for Feline, thought to be destroyed.
Why should I find this interesting?
It contains some material about Prince Shizor's family. His father was king of a small nation on Feline. There was a regrettable incident. All of Prince Shizor's family were killed.
A light dawned in Vader's mind.
Ah, that explained much. It was not simply that Shizor considered Vader a competitor for the Emperor's affection. It was personal. And now Shizor wanted to kill Luke, Vader's son.
In his sanctum, Shizor received an incoming call.
Lord Vader, what a pleasant surprise.
Perhaps not so pleasant. I have been made aware of your attempts to kill Luke Skywalker. You will immediately cease all attempts to harm the boy.
Shizor kept his face neutral, even though he felt a surge of anger.
Your information is in error, Lord Vader. And even if it were correct, I am given to understand that the boy is a rebel officer. All rebels are traitors who are wanted, dead or alive. Is this sudden change of policy an official imperial decree?
If Skywalker is harmed, I will hold you personally accountable.
Vader broke the connection. Shizor took a deep breath and exhaled slowly. He told himself it was to be expected that Vader, as had the Emperor, would uncover some information about Skywalker sooner or later. This should have no effect on his plans. He would merely have to be more cautious. Dash's contact, one Benedict Vidkun, was more than willing to scan the systems, make maps, lead them himself, or whatever else they might want, as long as they had plenty of credits. Vidkun was a short, thin man, fish-belly pale, with bulging brown eyes, a wispy beard and mustache, and more than his share of nose. According to him, he worked nights, slept days, and seldom saw the sun, save when he went to and from his duties under the Imperial Complex. He knew the sewers by heart. The sludge in the tunnel was greenish-black, thick, oily, and it stank worse than anything Luke had ever smelled before. Dregs of the dregs, the silty fluid flowed around their feet. The tunnel was lit by a row of dim overhead glow sticks, but it was bright enough to see as much as they wanted. They were startled by something that sounded as if somebody had dropped a couple of head-sized stones into the inky liquid. Vidkun looked back.
What's with the wok?
He doesn't like little swimming or running things, Luke said. Vidkun shrugged.
A few hundred more meters.
Hey, Dash said. Look out!
Luke spun, pulled his lightsaber from his belt, just in time to see a large eye pop up on a fleshy stalk attached to something slithering through the murky effluvia toward him. A Dianoga! Luke stepped closer and brought the blade down, chopping the Dianoga's body in half. The cut pieces continued thrashing, but the spasms quickly subsided. The five of them continued to wade through the mire. Finally, Vidkun pointed.
Just ahead, there.
They saw two large round holes in the wall covered with thick metal mesh gates. Lando said,
Okay, Vidkun, let's see if those codes you have work.
The engineer moved forward, did something to the locking mechanisms with a plastic card. The gates swung open. Vidkun grinned at them.
See? Just like I told you. We want the one on the right.
They moved into the drain and climbed the slight incline carefully. Vidkun warned them.
Coming onto the zap field. Let me run the deactivator.
Everybody stopped while he fiddled with the controls on a small black box he pulled from his belt. There was a brief flash of purplish light.
Should be okay now.
Fine. You go first,
Lando said. The engineer glared at him, but moved to the front. When he'd walked a few more meters without turning into a crispy fried Vidkun, they followed him. Then Vidkun stopped.
There. There's the entrance to the building. It leads into the recycler in the sub-sub basement. There won't be any guards inside the recycler itself, but there will probably be some in the adjoining flow chamber. Here's the key to the rat grate.
He handed a plastic card to Lando.
See you.
He turned to leave. Dash stepped in front of him.
Where do you think you're going?
Hey, I'm done. I got you to the building. I got you the floor plans for the place. That was the deal.
Dash scratched his head.
Well, I guess you have us there. That was the deal, all right. But, see, there's been a little change in our itinerary. We'd like you to come along until we come to a place where you can safely wait for us.
We insist, Lando said.
Vidkun shrugged.
Well, okay, since you put it that way.
And before anybody could react, he pulled a small blaster from his coverall and started shooting wildly. The first shot seared past Luke. The second hit Dash in the hip. The engineer didn't get off a third shot because Dash snapped his blaster up and put a bolt right between the man's eyes. Luke went to him.
Dash? I'm okay. Just scorched me a little.
Why'd he do it? Lando said. We weren't gonna hurt him. Guy like that, he figures he's sold out. Why shouldn't we? Dash said. Let's hope the guards didn't hear the shooting, Lando said.
Luke peered through the half-fogged cover plate on the recycler's door.
Uh-oh. Guards. Six of them.
Behind him, Lando tried to keep his shock to a whisper.
Six? To guard a sewage plant?
Dash laughed softly.
So what? That's only one and a half each.
Luke looked again. True, there were six men only a few meters away, but four of them sat at a table playing cards, blast rifles stacked against the wall. Two others stood near the card players, watching and apparently offering advice, but they had their weapons slung over their shoulders. Dash was right. If they moved fast, they could cover the guards before they had a chance to use their rifles, then disarm them, tie them up, and be on their way with nobody else the wiser. The trick was to do it before one of the guards got his comlink out to call for help. Luke moved away from the cover plate and crouched in the mire with the others.
Okay, here's the deal. Dash, you pop the hatch. I'll go first. Chewie is behind me, then Lando. You come last. On three. One, two, three.
Dash shoved the hatch open. Luke leapt out, brought his lightsaber up into a ready stance.
Nobody move!
Chewie jumped out behind him. His wet feet slid on the floor, and he fell flat on his back. Lando tried to leap over Chewie, but tripped on the fallen Wookiee and sprawled face down. The startled guards leapt up and went for their weapons.
Luke blocked the first bolt, shifted in the force, blocked the second. Dash dove over Lando and Chewie, shoulder rolled once, fire. The two standing guards went down, but another one spun away from the wall. Blast rifle spewing. Chewie sat up and the bowcaster spoke. The third guard went down, but the fourth one shot at them. Luke barely blocked a beam that vibrated his hands and arms hard. But the reflected bolt hit one of the overhead lamps and shattered it. The room went dimmer. Only one guard stood. He didn't have a gun, but he was yelling into a comlink unit. Lando shot the last guard as Chewie came to his feet, looking embarrassed. Luke stomped down on the squawking comlink with his boot heel and smashed it.
So much for sneaking in quietly, Lando said.
Shizo was paying the cultural minister his monthly bribe when Guri stepped into the room. The Dark Prince made polite noises and dismissed the minister. When the man was gone, he looked at her.
What?
A problem in the sub-sub basement.
What kind of problem?
She shrugged.
We don't know. That area is still not wired for surveillance, and the guards are not answering.
Shizor was not especially concerned. Down where the pipes and conduits and heavy Durasteel beams were thick, engineers had not been able to resolve some comm wave interference.
It's either a comm glitch, or Skywalker is faster and smarter than we thought. Have the drain sensors picked up any armies marching in under the building?
No.
Good. If it is Skywalker, he's probably alone, or perhaps the Wookiee is with him. Send a unit to check it out.
Two squads are already on the way.
Send in them off on your way out. Security will catch Skywalker. There is nothing to worry about.
Luke and the others ran. Chewie knew where Leia was, and he was in the lead. They came around a sharp corner in a wide corridor and nearly ran into four more guards. Everybody who had a blaster started shooting. From the comlink on Luke's belt, 3PO's strident and excited voice suddenly began calling.
Master Luke! Master Luke!
Luke blocked an incoming blaster beam. He left the comlink on his belt and yelled down at it. We're busy here, 3PO!
But Master Luke, there are men coming toward the ship, men with guns!
Great, just what he needed. Luke deflected another beam, leapt forward, and found himself within reach of the man who'd shot at him. He whipped the lightsaber down, and the hand holding the blaster dropped to the floor. Luke spun and thrust a sidekick at the guard, hit him squarely on the nose, and knocked him flat. The other guards were down as well. Luke pointed the way the guards had just come. That way! As they ran, he pulled his comlink from his belt. 3PO!
Master Luke! Oh, what shall we do?
Take the ship out of there now, just like we talked about. R2 knows the systems, you can operate the controls. Call me back when you're in the air. Keep it suborbital and under the stratospheric security scanners, you got that?
Yes, Master Luke!
Go!
We've lost contact with the second unit of guards, Guri told Shizor.
Same area?
No, four levels up.
Shizor frowned. That was well above the normal area of comm problems in the castle, and an unlikely coincidence.
Put security on full alert.
Already done.
Could it be Skywalker? Had he somehow gotten into the castle without being detected?
Cancel my appointments. Go and fetch Princess Leia. Bring her to my strongroom.
Leia felt somebody approaching her room. Intuition, she guessed, but she trusted it. She grabbed one of the chairs and slid it next to the door. Then she stood on the back of it, balanced carefully against the wall, the heavy bounty hunter's helmet that had been her disguise clutched in her hands. The door opened, and Guri stepped into the room. She was fast, but Leia had already started moving. Before Guri could turn, Leia hammered the back of her head with the helmet. It was a powerful blow and would have knocked a human woman unconscious. The impact off-balanced the droid, and she stumbled forward. That was enough for Leia to leap from the chair and scoot out of the room into the hall. She slapped the door control. Guri had recovered and was on the way back when the door shut. Leia jammed the lock mechanism closed. The door shook from Guri's impact. The next hit splintered the heavy plastic, spider-webbed it with tiny cracks. It wasn't going to hold her long, Leia knew. She turned and ran.
Chewie led them up a stairwell a dozen levels above where they'd entered the castle.
Master Luke, we have successfully left the building.
Luke pulled out his comlink. 3PO, where are you?
Somewhere in the sky, Master Luke. What? Oh, be quiet. I'm flying it correctly.
3PO? There was a moment of silence, then a crunching noise.
I saw it, you blithering ashcan. If you hadn't distracted me, I would have turned in time.
3PO, what is going on?
I'm sorry, Master Luke. Thanks to R2's woefully inadequate instructions, we've accidentally destroyed an advertising billboard and a broadcasting tower.
All right, listen. Bring the Falcon to the coordinates I told you. Hurry, and gain enough altitude so you don't hit anything. Luke broke the connection. There was a heavy, fireproof door just ahead of them. Lando leveled his blaster at it, but Luke stopped him. Don't. It's magnetically shielded. That'll bounce off and maybe hit one of us. How are we supposed to get through it, then? Stand back. Let's see if it'll stop a lightsaber. The door would not stop a lightsaber. They went through and continued to climb. This way! Luke yelled. Firing behind them, they ran down the corridors of the next highest level of the palace, blaster bolts stabbing after them. They rounded another corner, zigzagged through a side corridor, and sprinted toward a door at the end of the hall. They saw the door start to slide back. Dash and Lando brought their guns up. Luke yelled, "No! Don't shoot!" The door opened wide to reveal Leia. She and Luke ran to each other and embraced. Leia stepped back and looked at him. "Took you long enough." She wrinkled her nose. "Yeah, what have you been swimming in?" "The ship broke down," Luke said, "so we had to take a shortcut through the sewer."
"Master Luke."
"What is it now, 3PO?
"We appear to have caught the attention of a robotic police vessel. It seems to be following us."
"Well, lose it."
"How, Master Luke?"
"Fly like Han does." Running next to him, Leia's eyes went wide. "You're letting the droids fly the ship? Are you crazy?" "They're doing all right, just a few jitters, that's all."
"No, R2, you heard what Master Luke said. I'll just loop around and... Whoa! Yeah!"
3PO, what are you doing?
"Ah, that's better. We seem to have lost the pursuer, Master Luke. I believe it smashed into that walkway we flew under while we were upside down."
"I can't believe you let the droids fly the..." Luke glared at her. "Will you stop saying that?" He looked back at the comlink. "All right, you two. Get to the coordinates like I said, and be more careful."
"We're doing quite well now, Master Luke. Don't worry."
Luke stared up at the ceiling and sighed. Guri burst into Shizor's strong room. He blinked at her.
"What?"
"She got away. I'll sound the general alarm."
"No! How would that look? The head of Black Sun allows his security to be breached. Tell the perimeter guards to watch their backs. Whoever got in had better not get out."
They hurried down the corridor to a surveillance nexus, where they could access the feed and see holograms of the holocam input. Guri tapped the commands into an old-fashioned keypad. "Display level 16. Anybody not wearing an employee uniform." The image broke into a million tiny dots, swirled like water going down a drain, then went blank. "Where is the image?" Guri asked the computer.
"Holocam and sensor feed on level 15 is currently non-operational."
"Display level 17. Again the image stayed blank. "Display level 18. The air swirled, and a multiple scan of empty hallways and rooms blinked into ghostly images.
Shizor waved the blaster at the images. "They're on 17. They're blowing out the breakers, so we won't see them. If they'd gotten to 18 yet, that floor would also be gone. Skywalker is doing this. We'll go to level 20. I will dispatch him personally."
They stepped into the turbo lift. The Alliance group continued running up the stairs. Dash was hardly out of breath.
"Level 20. Stairs end here. We'll have to zip in and find another set."
The plan was to get to the Falcon and get off-world as soon as possible.
How many levels are in this place?
Lando asked. As I recall, 102 above ground.
Oh, man. And we have to go all the way to the roof?
Luke answered. No, there's a landing pad extending out from level 50. Dash scoffed.
That's nothing. Another 30 flights. We won't even be breathing hard.
Shizor and Guri stepped out of the turbolift and into the corridor. Shizor saw them first. 5 of them, Leia included. The Dark Prince smiled. He turned sideways, lowered his blaster, and extended it one-handed, as if he were shooting targets in a competition, lined his sights up on Skywalker's left eye. Luke spotted the tall alien just as he brought his blaster to bear. He jerked his lightsaber from his belt, flicked it on, and let the Force claim him. He felt the impact of the shot as his blade deflected the incoming bolt. The alien fired again. Again, the lightsaber moved, directed by the Force. Another beam splashed harmlessly against the Jedi weapon and burned through. "Look out!" Leia yelled. The droid woman Lando had told him about, Guri, hurled a chair at Luke. He couldn't use his saber to cut it down and risk another bolt from the shooter. Chewie brought his bowcaster up, fired. The chair exploded into shrapnel. Shizor realized 2 things. He was outgunned, and Skywalker could stop his fire. "Move!" he yelled at Guri. She stepped in front of him and blocked him from the 5 down the hall as he stepped into the empty room where she'd gotten the chair. A second later, she joined him. In spite of himself, Shizor was impressed.
"That's an interesting trick he does with that lightsaber."
"He is related to Vader. Shall I call the guards now?" He sighed.
"Call them."
"That was Shizor," Leia yelled.
"Good, let's get him," Luke yelled back.
"I don't think so," Lando said. "Look."
A dozen guards rounded the corner and started shooting.
"In there,"
Dash yelled. There was a door to their left. Chewie opened it by smashing through it, and they ran into an empty office.
"Now what?" Leia said.
Lando reached into the small backpack he wore.
"It's time for desperate measures."
He brought out a silvery ball about the size of a fist. There were some controls, a finger-wide slot around the ball's equator, and what looked like electronic diodes on the top and in the slot. Dash took the ball from Lando.
"It's a thermal detonator. Lando's got 3 of them. They run on a timer or a dead man switch. Flip that switch, press the button in, and hold it. If you let go without disarming the dead man switch first, it goes off."
"And does what exactly?" Leia asked.
"Makes a small thermonuclear fusion reaction."
"A small thermonuclear fusion reaction." She took the device, examined it. "And if you don't use the dead man switch?"
"It runs on a timer. The default setting is 5 minutes. If you lock it in, nobody can turn it off."
"Got it." She hefted the metal ball, then tucked it inside the bounty hunter's helmet hooked to her belt.
"I guess we better have a little talk with Shizor," Luke said.
Lando handed him another of the thermal detonators. Luke touched the controls. The device started making a beeping sound. Tiny lights winked on and off. Shizor entered the hall behind a dozen or so guards who moved toward an open door across from the one he and Guri had ducked into. He heard a small noise, a repetitive beep. Skywalker stepped into the hall. The guards pointed their blasters, but the boy didn't have his lightsaber in hand. Instead, he held some kind of small device. Shizor had not always been an armchair commander. He had paid his dues in head-knocking and strong-arm work, and he knew a bomb when he saw one.
"Don't shoot! Lower your weapons!"
The other intruders and Leia moved out into the hall behind Skywalker. Skywalker held out the device.
"You know what this is?"
"I have a pretty good idea. What do you want?"
"To leave. My friends and I."
"If you release the bomb, you'll die. So will your friends.
The boy shrugged. As it stands, we're dead anyway. We have nothing to lose. How about you? You ready to give all this up? He waved at the building around them.
I think you're bluffing.
Only one way to find out. Your move. Chizor thought about it.
All right. Leave. Nobody will stop you.
Alive, he would be able to chase them down. Dead, well, dead was dead. Four of them edged past the guards, who nearly fell on themselves trying to get out of the way. Skywalker stood facing Chizor alone.
Skywalker, you've caused me a great deal of trouble.
That's too bad. You had it coming.
I could still shoot you.
You could try. Skywalker flicked the lightsaber on. It was a standoff, and Skywalker knew it. Suddenly, the dark man reached into his pack and produced another shining ball. Chizor smirked.
What's the point of that? You can't blow up any more with two of those.
The dark man grinned. There was a garbage chute next to him, and he opened it. He flipped a control on the device. It started beeping and flashing. Chizor had an awful premonition.
No!
But the man tossed the bomb into the chute. You have 5 minutes to leave the building. If I were you, I'd get moving. Luke and the others took the lift to level 50. As they ran toward the landing pad, Luke heard something. He reached out with the Force. Couldn't find anything. He waved the others on. Go ahead. I'll be right there. He pulled out his lightsaber, flicked it on. He heard a woman's voice behind him. Behold, the Jedi Knight, the man of legend. The droid woman called Guri stood there. You have caused my master much misfortune. You should die for that. Luke aimed the sword point at her. You have that blade, and I am unarmed. She held her hands away from her sides, empty palms facing him. He had maybe 3 minutes. The smart thing to do would be to cut her down and get moving. He clicked the lightsaber off, rehooked it to his belt. What do you want? A test. My master pits himself against the deadliest opponents he can find. There are no men my equal in hand-to-hand combat, except, perhaps, if the stories are true, a Jedi Knight. This building is going to blow to pieces in 3 minutes, and you want to play games? It won't take that long. Are you afraid to die, Skywalker? He spread his feet slightly and dropped into a fighting crouch. Guri smiled and slid into her own fighting stance. She leapt at him. She was impossibly fast. He stepped to his right and kicked at her as she flew past. Hit her on the hip and knocked her sideways, but not off her feet. She circled, looking for an opening. Luke! Leia's scream distracted him. It was enough for Guri. She took a long sliding step and punched. Luke backpedaled, but her fist hit him in the belly hard. She followed up with an elbow, but he dived away, rolled and turned, came up with his hands lifted as she darted after him. He lost contact with the Force. He was on his own. She slapped him next to the ear, and he went down, dazed. If he didn't do something fast, she was going to kill him.
The Force. Let it work for you, Luke.
Luke heard Ben's voice calling, as if from a great distance, echoing across time and space. Yes. He managed a breath as Guri raised her hand, formed now into a blade instead of a fist, a grin of triumph lighting her features. When he blew out his air, he blew his fear out with it. He saw Guri's hand descend, saw it moving to smash him, but it was so slow. It seemed he could roll aside and stand before she ever reached him. He came up, pivoted, thrust his open palm against the descending chop and shoved it aside. He used his left leg in a sweep that caught Guri behind the right ankle. Her feet left the floor and she fell flat on her back. Luke pulled his lightsaber, ignited it. Lying on her back, stunned, she managed to smile. You won fairly. Go ahead. Luke lowered the blade, shut it off. Come with us. We can have you reprogrammed. She sat up.
No. If somehow my memory is downloaded, it will be fatal for me and my master. We have much to answer for. Better to kill me now. He shook his head. There's been enough killing. I'm not adding to it today. He nodded at her once, turned, and ran.
Chizor's personal ship, the Virago, was on the top level of the palace. He hurried on board and closed the hatch. He would fly to his skyhook. He had his own navy positioned in and around the space station. Several corvettes, a few frigates, hundreds of rebuilt surplus fighters. By the time Skywalker's ship made it into orbit, his navy would be waiting.
All systems go,
the Virago's computer said. He reached for the lift controls. More than a minute left. He paused for a second, looked through the view screen at his castle. It was too bad about its destruction, but he would rebuild a bigger, better, more majestic place until he could take over the Emperor's castle. He touched the lift controls. The Virago rose from the pad and into the bright sunshine. He was a few hundred meters away, clear enough to be safe, when he saw a beat-up Corellian freighter coming at him. The ship seemed to be out of control, corkscrewing on its horizontal axis, pitching and yawing, and barely missed him. What kind of idiot was in control of that vessel? Dash saw it first and pointed up. Mother of madness! Luke looked up and saw the Millennium Falcon coming in too fast and spinning like a demented toy gyroscope. Duck! Lando hollered. The five of them dropped flat. The ship pulled up no more than a meter from the pad's deck. Luke pulled his comlink.
3PO, cut your drives. Bring it in on the repellers only. And hurry!
The ship hopped upward 100 meters as if hurled from a sling.
Bring it down, you fool droid!
Lando yelled. The Falcon drifted down toward them, then dropped like a stone. The belly hatch's ramp yawned wide.
Go! Go! Go!
Luke yelled. By the time Luke made it into the ship, the ramp was already closing. They had maybe 30 seconds left. Dash shoved 3PO aside and slid into the cockpit. His hands danced over the controls. There came a deep rumble from underneath them. The Falcon shook.
Come on, Dash!
Lando yelled. The Millennium Falcon spun away. As it did, Luke saw the building shake, then drop straight down like a tower of sand with the base kicked out. Smoke rose and blasts of fire erupted skyward. Giant electrical conduits sprayed multicolored sparks. The ship rocked under the impacts. Dash hit the thrusters, and the Falcon leapt upward.
My Lord Vader, you asked to see anything regarding this name,
the officer said. Vader took the printout and scanned it.
Where did this originate?
An encoded transmission from the ship Virago, my lord, en route to the skyhook Faline's Fist in high orbit. The ship is registered to...
I know who it is registered to.
Vader crumpled the thin plastic hard copy sheet in his hand.
Make ready my shuttle.
He had warned Chizor to stay away from Luke. The criminal had chosen to ignore that order. That was a grievous error. As the Falcon made its escape, the group stood together and heard Dash's voice over the comm.
Thanks for the ride.
Dash had called his droid, who had brought the outrider to the Falcon, doing a much better job of flying than 3PO and R2, and now he was on his way out. Luke said more fondly than he would have believed possible a few days earlier, "You really ought to consider signing on with the Alliance. You're a good man, and we could use you."
"Thanks, Luke, but I don't think so. I'm not much of a joiner."
"Want to race to the jump spot?" Luke now sat at the controls. Dash laughed.
"You want a parsec head start?"
No, I... A hard green beam of light flashed between the two ships.
the sighting ray of a big ship's cannon. Lando said,
"We've got an unmarked corvette coming in at 270, and four fighters at 359. Those aren't Imperial ships. Who are these guys?"
"That you accredit their Shizors," Leia said. That made sense. Not that it made any difference. Luke began pushing controls.
"We've got to move. Chewie, Leia, the guns."
Shizor stood in his command center on the skyhook, surrounded by a transparasteel plate that allowed him an almost 360-degree view of space. He heard the voice of his commander engaging the rebels in space.
"Prince Shizor, we have located the Corellian freighter. We are engaging it now. It should be destroyed momentarily."
Shizor nodded.
"Don't be too sure, Commander. They seem to be extremely lucky."
"They'll need more than luck, my prince. We have them completely surrounded. They'll need a miracle."
The attacking ships had formed a loose hemisphere in space. Many civilian freighter and passenger ships were coming and going around the planet, and it was all Luke could do to avoid hitting one of them as he dodged the fighters buzzing them. Sooner or later, the Imperial Navy was going to wake up and add to the confusion. One of the attacking fighters came straight at them, cannons winking. Suddenly, the attacker exploded. The Vulcan blew through the cloud of debris. It pattered like hard rain against the shields.
"Good shot!" Luke yelled. "Who got it? Was that you, Leia?"
"Not me. Must have been Chewie." Lando said,
"Well, then who did?"
"Hey, Luke. Okay if we join your party?"
"Wedge! What are you doing here?"
"Waiting for you. Dash's droid sent us a distress signal. Sorry it took so long to get here."
Another of the unmarked attackers blossomed into a fireball. Luke grinned.
"Well, just don't let it happen again."
Now that the Rogue Squadron was here, the odds were a little better. He swung the Falcon into a wide turn. Luke's optimism didn't last long.
"I think we got problems, buddy,"
Dash said. Luke nodded. "Wedge?"
"I'm afraid he's right, Luke. These guys are only so-so pilots, but there are a lot of them. I figure we're still outnumbered 15-1.
Luke took a deep breath. "Well, I guess all we can do is take as many of them with us as we can. Unless anybody wants to surrender." Both Dash and Wedge laughed.
"That's what I thought. May the Force be with you."
Luke flew as he had never flown before. He threw power turns that came close to blacking them all out. And then he saw the TIE fighters screaming toward them, a dozen at least. Lando said,
"Uh-oh."
"Yeah, I was wondering what was keeping them." Luke looked over at Lando.
"Listen, thanks for everything, Lando. You've been a good friend."
"I don't want to hear that kind of talk. I still am a good friend."
There was nowhere to go. Space was thick with ships. Luke saw the TIEs flash past.
"Watch them take out two of the unmarked attackers."
Lando said. Over the comm, Shizor heard the panic in his commander's voice.
"My lord, we're being attacked by the Imperial Navy!"
Next to him, a communications tech waved frantically. Shizor fixed the man with a baleful stare.
"This better be good. Your life hangs in the balance."
"It's Lord Vader. He wants to speak to you."
Vader's image swirled in front of him. Shizor went on the offensive immediately.
"Lord Vader, why is the Navy attacking my ships?"
"Because the ships, under your orders, are engaging in criminal activity."
"Nonsense! My ships are trying to stop a rebel traitor who destroyed my castle."
"You have 2 standard minutes to recall your vessels and to offer yourself into my custody."
The coldness at Shizor's core blossomed uncontrolled into an angry heat. He tried to keep his voice calm.
"I will not. I will take this up with the Emperor."
"The Emperor is not here. I speak for the Empire, Shizor. I warned you to stay away from Skywalker. Recall your ships and surrender into my custody, or pay the consequences.
The commander of Shizor's navy put in a frantic call to his master. Vader listened to the decoded communication over the speaker system.
My prince, we are outnumbered and being slaughtered. I need permission to offer our surrender. Majesty?
Vader watched the chronometer, enjoyed the time melting away. Not much left for the Dark Prince now. 7 seconds, 6 seconds, 5.
Prince Shizor, we must surrender or we will be blown to pieces. Majesty, I...
The commander's transmission ended abruptly. One of the Imperial fighters must have gotten him. 2, 1.
Commander, destroy the Skyhawk.
Luke put the Falcon into a steep climb, but there were more ships looming at that angle, and he peeled off to starboard. But while the TIE fighters occasionally fired on the X-Wings, they seemed to be targeting the unmarked attackers. Shizor's ships. Why? Luke zagged, missed an incoming fighter by centimeters. He felt a familiar disturbance in the Force. Vader? Then the Skyhook exploded.
Oh, man, Lando said softly. They must have made somebody real mad.
Luke shook his head, didn't speak. Dash didn't give him time to react.
Heads up, boys. Follow me. Somebody just opened us an escape hatch.
Luke looked out at the swarming debris. Are you crazy? We can't fly through that.
What's the matter, kid? Don't think you can do it?
Luke laughed and headed for the wreckage. Lando yelled, "Look out, Dad!" Luke glanced up to see a block of shattered Skyhook the size of a Resiflex smash into the Outrider. There was a flare of light too bright to look at. Luke turned away, saw Lando throw one arm up to block the glare. When the light faded, the Outrider had vanished. Oh, man, Lando said. He's gone. The sweet taste of triumph went bitter in Luke's mouth. There wasn't time to mourn now. Brace yourselves. This is gonna be rough. The secret Alliance base on the asteroid was light years away from Coruscant. Luke stood with Leia, Lando, and Chewie, 3PO, and R2, and stared through the thick transparasteel into the depths of the galaxy. Lando said,
"If Shizor was on that Skyhook like our intelligence reports say, I would guess Black Sun's bounty hunters will quit looking for you."
"There's still Vader," Leia said. Luke shook his head. "I don't think Vader wants me dead. Yet, anyway." They looked up to see Wedge approaching.
"Got a message for you, Luke, from the Bothans. It was for Dash, but, well... anyway, that missile Dash supposedly missed during the fracas off Kothlis? Turns out he didn't miss."
Luke blinked. "What?"
"The thing was one of the Empire's new diamond boron armored jobs. Nothing he had to throw at it could have stopped it."
Luke felt a lump of liquid air form in his belly. Dash hadn't screwed up. And now he would never know. And worse was the knowledge that Luke had felt just a little bit glad to see the braggart taken down a notch.
"What are you going to do now?" Wedge said.
"We're going to get Han," Luke said. "If he isn't on Tatooine yet, he soon will be."
"Going to dance into the Hutt's guarded palace and get him, just like that?"
"I have a plan," Luke said. In the Emperor's private sanctum, Darth Vader got up off his knees and stood before his master. He believed he had reason to be worried.
"You defied my orders, Lord Vader."
"Yes, my master. But I hope I have not failed you."
The Emperor favored Vader with a dark smile.
"I am not unaware that Shizor served his own ends, and that you were shrewd to have uncovered his plot.
Are we certain he is dead?
I do not see how he could have survived.
Just as well.